Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that I call diaprax, the dialectic process and the practice of it. Which is the enemy or the anathema of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All that's of the world, which is the diaprax, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so it's important that we understand Satan's devices, his schemes, and the dialectic is his scheme. It is actually found in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's the part of Proverbs 3, 5, that leaning to your own understanding. That's the dialectical process. Now, last meeting we talked about, or I shared about Eric Fromm. I've been covering Eric Fromm because his book Escape from Freedom and his ideology is foundational to a book that's very popular in education today, Bloom's Taxonomy, and prior programs have talked about that taxonomy, both of those. The cognitive domain came out in 56, and the affective domain came out in 64. But all teachers are trained in using these taxonomies to develop curriculum in the classroom. In other words, how you structure your learning experience with the students and between the students and the teacher. And those taxonomies are built on the dialectical process, are built actually on Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's a system. It's a method that Satan used with Eve. Now, the last time I shared, it was concerning this quote by Eric Fromm. Since Bloom says Eric Fromm is his Weltanschauung, his worldview, it's important that we understand what Eric Fromm's worldview is. And here's how he sees things. He says, the most effective method for weakening a child's will is to arouse his sense of guilt. Now, if you ever studied psychology, there's the id, the ego, and the superego. Well, the ego is the I will. The id is the impulse. And the superego is the restraint. And the agenda was to undo the conscience, which really gets in the way of the id. The id has no negation. If you read Norman O'Brown's book, Life Against Death, he explains Sigmund Freud and this whole dialectical process in psychology. And it's the recognition that in man's true nature, the laws of God are not found. In other words, the Ten Commandments don't come with children. They're readily identified in our life because when you hear them, we understand them. See, the law is perfect, converting the soul. And what they do is they reveal to us our fallen human nature. But we don't come with a microchip of the laws of God. All we come with is the laws of flesh. Now, so if the commands given by parents and eventually by God, as that child grows in maturity, understanding is right and wrong, then that produces a guilty conscience. And it weakens the child's I will. I will this, I will that. So what Fromm is saying is that if you want to weaken the child's will, develop the conscience. Now, he's not in favor of that. He's just simply saying there's a problem in culture, and it is those traditional parents who are developing a strong conscience in the children. They have a sense of guilt then, and that they don't then go out and do whatever they feel like doing. Then he writes, the most important symptom of the defeat in the fight for oneself is a guilty conscience. So for a child to have a strong conscience, then he has defeated his true identity. It's a symptom. It reveals his having given up his pursuit of who he is now subject to higher authority. Now, as last week I was closing, I was talking or sharing about Norman O'Brown's book, Life Against Death, in regards to Fromm's guilt complex. He writes, Norman O'Brown does, the new guilt complex appears to be historically connected with the rise of patriarchal religion. For the Western development, the Hebrews are decisive. And so here is a social engineer who, in his book Life Against Death, shows how Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud were synthesized. It's called social psychology. And that the enemy that they have to overcome is this guilty complex, this guilt complex. And it comes from the patriarchal religion. And he specifically identifies it as the Western development, the Hebrews, that are the ones who are decisive. In other words, it's a biblical. Then he says the guilty conscience, this feeling of guilt, conscience means with is and not, you know, this is right and that is not, and when you do something that is not right, then your conscience bothers you. So to have a clear conscience at the end of the day, you must not have done anything wrong. So to have a guilty conscience, in other words, there's this dread and this sense of failure, you did not fulfill the law, the commands. And so he says this guilty conscience is formed in childhood. In other words, there's some experience in this child's life that produces a conscience. And he says then by the incorporation of the parents. In other words, when the child incorporates the parent structure, they're above and he's below, a biblical structure. See, God says, my ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. It's above, below. I'm heaven, hell, sheep, goats, light, dark. You know, there's a contrast going on, and it's above, below. And so this guilty conscience hovers over the child, and it's really the child incorporates this structure via the parent's commands and the wish to be the father of oneself. Therefore, he eventually wants to be in the position of the parent, carrying this same structure into his home, that his children would be obedient to him. And therefore, he would be inculcating into this child this guilty conscience. We must return to Freud, Norman O'Brown says, and say that incest guilt created the familial organization. This is where I had to quit last session, because if you look at Sigmund Freud and his history, and I've covered this in the past, is that he sees a primal horde or a primitive tribe, we would say, with a father figure, his wife under his authority, and his children under their authority, and that was a patriarchal system. But the children began to have relations, natural inclination. They're just following touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. They're just following pleasure in their life, whatever is in front of them and they want to relate with that makes them feel good. And the father sees behavior that correlates with incest debauchery. And he calls it, Freud would say the father would see this as polymorphously perverse behavior. Now, Freud wouldn't see it that way, but he's saying this patriarchal system would see it this way and then insist that the children follow rules. There is right behavior with your mother, and there is wrong behavior with your mother, and therefore with the world. And the children then, in rebellion, are eventually driven out because they refuse to listen to the father. They come to a consensus. Now, this is Freud's history. And if you want to read about it, get Herbert Marcuse's book, Eros and Civilization. He literally wrote one of the Bibles of the 60s. The liberals love this stuff. This is, you start reading this material and it's so debauchery that most conservatives get just so far and they've got better things to do. And it takes a long time to get through it because, by page 5 or 6, you're so upset, your blood pressure's up, and so you just put it aside. And it's really wicked material. But this is a foundation. It explains Sigmund Freud and the use of psychology. You can't separate this. Now, according to Freud, then, is these children come back and do two things to the father. They kill the father. Now, this is psychology. This is Freud. This is the structure. This is a system. This is dialectical. They kill the father, and then they eat him. And I used to think, well, that's sort of gross. That's sort of a Greek mythology. You eat whoever you killed as far as cannibalism. But the reason for that, as I studied this, is that it's not enough just kill the father, because you want to annihilate the patriarchal paradigm. You want to annihilate rules over man. You want to annihilate any environment that produces a guilty conscience. And so if you just bury the father, then there's a tombstone and the next generation comes along and says, well, who's that? Well, that was our dad. Well, why did he die? Well, we killed him. Why? Because he kept having rules. And then the next generation might say, well, I think maybe we do need some rules. And then the conscience would be reactivated again. So you not only have to kill him, you have to wipe him off the face of the earth. So there's nothing to go back to. Throughout history, they'll say, well, we're building bridges. You've heard that. Let's build bridges. You don't understand. If you build bridges, you have to destroy bridges. So the bridges back are destroyed in dialectical thought. There's only bridges going forward. And so you've got to destroy the father figure. And then once that's patricide, Sigmund Freud is built on patricide. The psychology is built on patricide. You couldn't have psychology without the destruction of the patriarch, because the law of God is patriarch. You never sat in a psychology class and studied the law of God, which is perfect, converting the soul, but you studied the soul. Isn't that interesting? Psychology is a study of the soul, but no, it's not. It is the study of the fleshy nature of man. It is the study of the carnal, rebellious nature of man. It is a study of human behavior, human, of the earth, earthy, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. But as I've shared, in psychology, it wouldn't be seen as lust, because lust is a result of some higher authority telling you that's wrong behavior, and then if you pursue it, then that's lust. But if there is no higher authority, and therefore there is no law, then it's not lust. It's just normal human behavior. Do you follow that? So if we can get rid of this patriarchal system, there is no guilty conscience. So he says, and we must return to Freud and say that incest guilt, in other words, when the father says that's wrong behavior, you know, the mother represents Mother Earth. The child who's writing on a piece of paper you've given them, and, you know, after a while, they run out of dopamine, they run out of pleasure, and they look to the wall. They look to the environment that can stimulate more dopamine, and they take that marker and they head to the wall. You know, they see dopamine heaven, and they're going to have more pleasure. But you come along, and you say, no, you can't have a relationship with that wall. That wall and you are not to bond. In other words, you just can't write all over it and discover your full potential. You can't worship Mother Earth, Gaia, and the cosmic forces. You can't practice incest. Now, this is hard for traditional people to understand, but when you study psychology, the whole concept of consensus with the sensuous, and Abraham Maslow called it this. He talked about the education system he developed. He called it an orgiastic Dionysian moment. It's an incestual moment. And so Norman O'Brown, following the Frankfurt School, following transformational Marxism, following the Weltanschauung of Benjamin Bloom that every teacher is certified off of, for curriculum development, he says we must return to Freud and say that incest guilt created the familia organization. He's sort of turning it bound backwards. When the father told the children there's right and there's wrong behavior, then there's guilt. Guilt in the child's life for having desired to practice incest. And they want to destroy that. See, they have to destroy the patriarchal system. Then he writes, human consciousness can be liberated. See, from the parental, and he puts in brackets, the Oedipus complex, only by being liberated from its cultural derivatives. Now, see, when the children want to have relations with the mother, i.e. incest, they have touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, the environment stimulates it, the mother comes in, they have pleasure with the mother, and they began behaving in a certain way that the father would see, well, that is, you know, the husband-wife behavior. Now, children can't procreate. So if you can have the sensuousness of touch, taste, sight, smell, sound leading to an orgiastic Dionysian moment, but children can't procreate and they, at a certain age, up till a certain age, they can't really have the hormones that an older child would have, that involvement. Well, that is the very structure of homosexuality and pedophilia and bestiality. It's the same structure. When you look at systems. And so what Freud is saying, and Norman O'Brown is explaining, human consciousness can be liberated from this Oedipal complex. Now, the Oedipal complex was developed when the children came back and killed the father and ate him. And then they realized, well, wait a minute, Dad did feed us, he did protect us. Maybe we should have some rules, because if everybody does Eros, if everybody relates with Mom and or the Earth, you know, that would be Marx, the haves and the have-nots, everybody relates with the Earth, and we do unified oneness, we have consensus with everything that comes in sight, we won't get any work done. So maybe we do need some rules so that we can protect one another and, you know, feed and provide for one another. And then Freud called that the neurosis of civilization. In other words, there was now a group of people who said, we've got to control the lower people, the other children's behavior, so that we can get some work done. So they're not just out there playing all the time, being maladjusted, as Benjamin Bloom had said in his book, Affective Domain, page 166. So what happens then is that these rules then come in and restrain natural inclination, spontaneity. They inhibit spontaneity because that's what rules do. And that's the Oedipus complex. The children want to relate with the mother, but then they know there are rules that keep them from doing so because to do so, they might not get things done. There's a consciousness of rules above them. And so the agenda was to get rid of the system externally, kill the father, but it's internal now. Because they've been damaged by exposure of the past of a patriarchal environment. And so he's saying, here's the source then, the paternalistic state and the patriarchal God. So human consciousness, according to Norman Brown, according to Bloom's taxonomy, can only be liberated from the parental complex if you can get rid of the cultural paradigm, the patriarchal paradigm in the culture, the paternalistic state, and the patriarchal God. So you've got to make sure there's not a top-down system in society. They all talk about grassroots movement. Well, no, it's not. All you do is find the oddities in a group of people, get them to share their oddities, and you have them under their control, just like Satan had Eve under her control, following the flesh, and then you say, well, that just came from them. You're born with the flesh, so therefore, it's your normal self. You're just being yourself. So the grassroots movement is a throwing off of any restraint above the carnal self. This is the lawless one. See, that's how that's all brought about. Then he says the abolition of repression, in other words, and repression is having to obey your parents when you don't want to, would only threaten patriarchal domination. So if we set up any system that would come in and deliver society from a top-down system, the only people that would be bothered would be those people who believe in a top-down system, a patriarchal system. And the key, of course, and Jürgen Habermas covers this, and I might cover it later, he was a famous Marxist, he said anytime you get people in a dialogue that come in with a patriarchal domination system, dad says, mom says, you know, God says, it is written, and they come in like Jesus, what my father commands, that's what I do, and you can get them into dialogue, just to get them into dialogue, they have moved from their religious foundation, because a religious foundation is top down. And if you go to dialogue, there's no top-down in dialogue. So the agenda of psychology is always to ask the students or the client or, you know, whoever it is in the room, how do you feel, what do you think, and move them into dialogue. That instantly negates a religious structure. This is what's happened in the church today. You know, Freud called, Marx called religion an opiate. What's that? That's simply people come in and insist that dad said and God said, and therefore this is the way it is. And according to Marx, they're an opiate. They can't get in touch with themselves. They can't get in touch with society. They have alienated themselves by incorporating a patriarchal system in their life. Norman Brown then continues, Freud, Hegel, and Nietzsche are like Marx, compelled to postulate external domination and its assertion by force in order to explain repression. So the only way to unrepress society, the only way to have equality of opportunity is to remove this structure that dominates and asserts by force. Again, listen, Freud, Hegel, this is the dialectic. Nietzsche are like Marx, compelled to postulate external domination. When the parents inculcate, the teacher inculcates, God inculcates what is right and what is wrong, external domination and its assertion by force, he's the author in the garden, cannot, must not, thou shalt not eat of that tree. And then he says, if you do, you will die. That is a source of repression. Then this is by Irvin Yalom, and I've covered him in the past, out of his book, The Theory and Practice and Group Psychotherapy. Now, theory and practice, Marx said, once the earthly family, see, that chastens their children, that's that patriarchal domination that Norman Brown was talking about. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, once you realize that paradigm in the traditional home is the very same paradigm of God. Now, dad and mom aren't perfect, but God is. But the system is good. It's a perfect system. And Marx said, Marx realized that that's the system that you have to get rid of. whether it's on the earth or whether it's in heaven. And he says, once you understand that that patriarchal system in the traditional home is just as damaging to culture as God's paradigm is, because they're both the same as far as structure, then Mark says, the earthly family, the traditional family, the patriarchal family, the family with the husband ruling, desire of the heart of the wife to the husband, and children obey their parents in the Lord, and they chasten while they also love and feed and protect their children, but they chasten them, teaching them right from wrong, that structure must be annihilated. That's the word, annihilated. Yet you don't only have to kill the fathers, you have to make sure that when you look out into the culture, there are no tombstones. There is nothing left in culture for anybody to grab a hold of a top-down system. And then once this is understood, see, then you're freed. And how can you be free? Mark said, by theory and practice. Theory is internal, by your thoughts. Well, I feel and I think. You're thinking with your feelings. You're not thinking what Dad says, you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking what God says, you're thinking about yourself. I mentioned again, Carl Rogers, he said in his book on becoming a person, before therapy, the person would say, what would my father say? What would God say? See, what would higher authority say? That's a patriarchal system. But during therapy, you take your child to counseling today, even in the church, it's no longer what does God say, it is what does it mean to me? See, what can I get out of this for me? And so Irvin Yalom, in his Theory and Practice, this is Karl Marx, communism, socialism, globalism, theory and practice of group psychotherapy, he states this. This is in your face. Freud noted. Now, he's talking about the Sigmund Freud that your schools are built on. Even the Christian schools using Bloom's taxonomy are built on Freud's psychology. The taxonomy, the cognitive book, 1956, in page 6, it says it is a taxonomy of psychology. That was illegal, but who bothers to read books? And so if it's built on psychology, contemporary psychology in the 50s and 60s was the Frankfurt School, merging Karl Marx with Sigmund Freud. And so here's Irvin Yalom saying, okay, if our school systems are built on Freud, then he says, Freud noted that patricide and incest are part of man's deepest nature, and if we're going to study man's deepest nature, that's the outcome we're going to have. So you got to kill the father figure so that the children can play. We can go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, folks, we have literally, like I said over and over, the Marxists look at America and they say, and they laugh at us, we're the stupidest people on the face of the earth. Because they say, come, we're the experts. You know, come trust us. We're the professionals. And we give them our children. Norman O'Brien, in his book, Life Against Death, he says, what we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects, not part of ourselves. See, the conscience means with science. And it perpetuates itself inside of us. In other words, once it's developed, it follows you around. It's within you. And it binds you to past objects. See, they see it as past. See, God is above, but you studied his word in the past, and now it, quote unquote, haunts you today. They don't see above below. They see us continuum. They see you as a relic of the past. You just need some education to come up with a current. Because they can't recognize above below. They can't recognize light and dark. See, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. They cannot do it. Without God opening their eyes and their ears, you can go share this material with liberals all day long. I have people come to me and they say, well, I'm a Christian, but I've learned this stuff and I can share this stuff until I fall over out of sheer exhaustion. They're not going to change until their heart has changed, until they realize there's nothing good within them. See, they've got to come to that point. There's nothing good. There's nothing you can use. There's nothing in the world you can use to bring a person to righteousness. It is God and him alone. It is his work and no works of men. But see, we all have this, well, you know, we got some good in us. You know what your good is? Your rebellion. You ought to be. When you're staring out that door with your friends heading to the park and your parents said you can't go, and you say to your parents, well, you hate me and nobody understands. Why? Because they're not good and you're good. You're good because what your mind is seeing is good. This would be good for me. This would help me to go out and bond with these kids because that's my future. That's my hope. My hope is not above me in obedience to my parents. My hope is bound within my own world. See, and that destroys the conscience if you liberate that spirit of rebellion. That's why you chasten it. And so Norman Brown is saying we call conscience, it perpetuates itself inside of us, our bondage to past objects, not part of ourselves. That's the conscience. Not very nice way of putting it. And then the COPS program, Community Order and Policing. Dr. Robert Chojanovitz, in his book, The Meaning of Community in Community Policing. You have to identify what you have to destroy. In a laboratory, if you're going to change elements, you have to know what the elements are you're going to change. This is all about change, remember? Mark says, once you realize the earthly family is the secret of the heavenly family, the former, the earthly family, must be annihilated both in theory and practice. But that's thesis number 4. Number 11 that he writes, Feuerbach thesis number 11, he says, the philosophers have all interpreted the world in many different ways. In other words, we have all these different families out there coming up with different standards. The objective, however, is to practice change, practice heresy, do the dialectical process, get the children in the room and ask them how they feel and what they think about any standards that interfere with their natural inclination. That's all you do in a Bible study today. It's not a study of the Word of God. It's a study of men's opinion of the Word of God. Very same pattern. Chojanovitz puts it this way. Beautiful description, by the way, the traditional home. He says, social control is most effective at the individual level. In other words, you need people individually to do what's right so that you don't have to worry about what's going on in the community. You can leave your doors open. He says, a personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control. Because, see, you can be under your parents' force, but then by yourself, if you don't have self-control, if you don't have the conscience, you'll just follow self. And then he identifies this, refraining from deviant behavior even when it can be easily perpetrated. In other words, there's that cookie or there's the tree, and you can eat of the tree or eat the cookie the parent says you could not do, you're not supposed to eat of, but it can be easily perpetrated, you can easily do it, you can easily be pulled into deviant behavior, but you're refrained from doing so. Why? Because of the conscience. If we had a culture with a strong conscience, you wouldn't have to lock your door. Do you understand this? And I'm laying down the conscience because I'm going to show you what their whole agenda is on how to destroy the conscience. He says the family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. You would think, therefore, we would support the family, the patriarch. No, psychology is the destruction of the conscience, is the destruction of the family. Why? Because tyrants cannot rule with a society with a strong conscience. You have to have slaves to dopamine. You have to have slaves to pleasure, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We'll continue on the other side of these messages.